There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position, not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sponsored by Mass Golf and Wedgewood Pines. Now, here's Heidi.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Hardy here, T-Bone in studio. And yes, I am back in Boston after being at Augusta yesterday. So I will be I'll be telling you everything that I saw here on the show here this morning. And also, we're going to be talking with Luke Pergandy from Prop Swap. This is a huge weekend for the Prop Swap guys, coming off of March Madness, where they're just buying and selling sports futures left and right. People will be doing the same. I have not yet looked this morning. I'm going to wait for Luke, but I imagine people are putting Hideki Matsuyama tickets to win the Masters up for sale on PropSwap right now and commanding a high price. But if you want to make something as close as you can get to a safe bet on today's rounds, it's like, yeah, I'll bet Hideki Matsuyama to win the Masters today because he has a four-stroke lead over Will Zalatoris, Mark Leishman, Justin Rose, and Xander Schauffele. That's where things stand after round three in Augusta. So here we are, beginning our, I'm going to go ahead and call this ninth year, T-Bone, of the Sports Hub Golf Club. I believe we started in 2013. You heard there at the top, a couple of great sponsors this year, Wedgewood Pines out in Stowe. We had them on the show last year, going to have them on the show again this year. Great country club, beautiful facility, really, really fun golf course, challenging, difficult, but, you know, fair for good golfers, completely unfair as far as I'm concerned. And also Mass Golf, who we had on the show last year, and Mass Golf, just a great partner for us. And, you know, I'll say it here and I'll say it again at the end of the show. Mass Golf is for golfers who, well, number one, it's for golfers that don't have a membership at a club, first and foremost. And you can join Mass Golf. You get a USGA handicap when you join Mass Golf. And everybody should have a handicap. And quite frankly, I think everybody should belong to Mass Golf because they're such a great resource. And you get a lot out of it. So Mass Golf and the Sports Hub Golf Club will have all kinds of stuff for you all season long. They passed on a couple of things for me. I had no idea. The first four winners of the Masters tournament were also winners of the Mass Open. Horton Smith won the Masters in 34. He had won the Mass Open 6 years later. Gene Sarazen, Byron Nelson, these guys all won both the Masters and the Mass Open. So there's a connection there, but there's so much good stuff that Mass Golf has to offer. So we'll be bringing them in throughout the course of the show all season long here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. All right. So yes, yesterday I was in Augusta. And if you heard on Zolak and Bertrand or follow me on Twitter at Hardy985, you know that it all came together kind of just all of a sudden last week when I was preparing not to go to the Masters again, which, you know, the preparations for that are nothing. It's the same thing I do every year, you know, do a couple of drafts, you know, settle in to watch over the weekend, you know, watch a bunch of golf on TV for the first couple of days. And then, you know, Saturday and Sunday just devoted to watching the tournament that I could never get to, had never been offered a grounds pass in any way, and never won the lottery. I'd sign up for the Masters lottery every year through the Masters website. And, you know, throughout the years, I just kind of resigned myself. It was like a running joke. Wasn't going to do it. Wasn't going to go. And I was oddly okay with it because the tournament coverage has gotten so much better over the years, what with the television coverage and the Masters app. If you don't go onto Masters.com for Thursday and Friday when maybe you're at work and have other stuff going on, or you don't have the Masters app, man, are you doing it wrong. Because the Masters website has live coverage of Amen Corner, featured groups, the driving range, the leaders, and everything that's on Masters.com. I think pretty much everything is on the Masters app. I can't tell you how much golf I've watched over the years on my phone for free, data rate supply, on the Masters app. This is not a commercial. This is not a paid announcement. I'm telling you, it's one of the best apps in sports. It's unbelievably good. So over the years, yeah, I wanted to be at the Masters, but man, you can see an awful lot just by following along on the Masters app and of course watching the coverage on TV over the weekend. So that was it. The fallback, the failsafe, happened to be this year when I turned 50 in March, and my wife and I talked for years about, all right, if you don't go to the Masters by the time you're 50, that would be the big 50th birthday celebration, that her and I would bite the bullet, buy a package that would include grounds passes for something, you know, either one day of the tournament or a practice round, and pay the exorbitant rate for a hotel, flights and all that stuff, and just go down there and spend thousands and thousands of dollars just to get on the course. And that would be, you know, a birthday gift to myself. Well, we also decided a few months ago, though, that with COVID still going on, you know what? I don't even think we could get tickets because there were so few put out there this year. Yeah, they had a tiny little lottery, but very few tickets were released, and it just didn't seem like the year to be able to pull it off, so we didn't even try. Lo and behold, as all these things had come to fruition, I'm sitting here on Tuesday of last week, and I get a phone call from one of our sales managers. His name is Brian Schneekloth. He says, Hardy, I didn't even think about this. I'm so sorry, but I'm going to the Masters Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We have four passes. The long story about how the station acquired these passes. And, you know, I would gladly give up my ticket for Saturday if you can come down here and want to go. Which immediately I said yes. And thanks to Jim Louth, who I think maybe suggested this, and our boss, Mary, who said, absolutely, you should go. And Rick and everybody else, I said, okay, great, I'm going. So, flew down to Augusta on Friday morning by way of Charlotte and got all kinds of interesting tips about how to get down there and what's the best way to do it and blah, blah, blah. I just took what I could get. I went through Charlotte and flew directly into Augusta and was going to Uber around. I did manage to find a rental car in Augusta while I was sitting on the airplane in Charlotte, and I just grabbed it. I reserved it. So I got to Augusta, and the first thing I did was I drove over to the golf course once I landed Friday afternoon. Mind you, I did not have a ticket for Friday. I just wanted to see it. And driving into Augusta National, expecting the urban whatever looks like an urban area in Augusta, Georgia, would kind of fall away and you would kind of get into a more secluded type of feel. No, no, no. It's Kroger's. It's Publix. It's Olive Garden on the same side of the street where the entrance to Augusta National is. There's a Hooters where John Daly parks his RV. There's an Arby's across the street. And there's a sign that says patron parking right there. And it's not like, hey, come on, park in here for $50 for the day. No, it's an actual master's sign. So I pulled into the Arby's parking lot across the street and just sat there and watched. Ate a beef and cheddar with some curly fries. And I said, I guess that's where I'm going tomorrow. So I made it to the house where everybody was staying, and we did our thing Friday night. Saturday morning, bright and early, yesterday, woke up, and that was the plan, to get there when the gates opened and to take in the golf course. So we're about – here's another strange thing. We were staying in South Carolina. I had no idea. All these years of not only watching the Masters but going to school, I never realized that Augusta was essentially on the border. It is. It's on the border of Georgia and South Carolina. So the house we were staying in was across the border in South Carolina. It was 5 miles away from the golf course. So about 7:45, get in the car. The three of us that were going over there, Bob Williams, he's a sales guy, and a couple of guys from DraftKings, and we drive over to the club. Pull right into the, it says patrons parking, masters parking right here. Pull right in. And this is probably not the year for me to experience and tell you what going to the Masters is like, but I'm going to do it anyway because there were so few people there. You can see it on TV. You can see it as you're watching. The grandstands do not exist. They have not erected one seating area for any spectators anywhere on the course. Parking was essentially pulling onto the golf course property, and we parked 100, 150 yards away from the place where you walked in. It, easy as can be. Don't have to pay. Just park your car. There you go. Walk right over there. Thank you. And walking into the Masters, I am not ashamed to say, made me a tiny bit emotional. Because I was finally there. I'm finally in, and as you're walking into the club, it, as I said last night, just in one tweet after I was getting on the plane, I said, it surpassed every one of my expectations. And here's why. If you're around golf courses and golf clubs at all, you get a sense that old money does not necessarily mean shiny and new. If you've been around any old clubs that are steeped in history and have a very impressive membership roster, you'll see that they almost purposely kind of let some things go. No, we're not going to update this. We're not going to make this as nice as we could because we kind of like things the way they were. Well, while it's not bright and shiny and high tech, this is not how I would describe Augusta National at all. It is all very nice and very clean and very classy without a hint of, wow, that's kind of old and crappy looking. I guess they keep it that way on purpose. Nope. I could only liken it to walking around a really, really nice part of New England, or even a really, really nice, and please don't take this the wrong way, you know, like a high-end outdoor shopping center where it's like, wow, this is like some classic architecture here, but I can tell the building is relatively new, or at least they've kept up and they've, you know, done some treatments here to the facade and replaced stuff here. It's all perfect. It's impossibly perfect. And I'm talking about the paving stones and the edging on the grass, and there isn't a blade of grass out of place. I walked thousands of acres of that golf course yesterday. I didn't see so much as one sprig of clover. Nothing is out of place. Nothing is left unattended to, and it's all really nice without being over the top gaudy and and in any way unclassy looking. And the people are all very much aware that there are dopes like me walking in on as a part of a trip of a lifetime, and they treat it accordingly. How are you this morning? You ready for a great day? Come on in. And it, especially this year, I felt like as many employees as there were guests on the course. Everyone there just happy to help and point you in the right direction and blah, 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 blah. So our plan of attack was pretty simple. We hit the pro shop first to make sure we got what we wanted to from the pro shop, which is what I was instructed to do. And walking through the pro shop, it's the nicest pro shop you'll ever be in your life. Also one of the biggest, with Masters gear and everything you could possibly want. And right when you pay for all your stuff, you walk outside and they say, would you like to send that home? Well, step right over there. And there's a whole UPS center set up where they take everything from you and take your address. And they say, it'll be there in a few days. There you go. Thank you. And then onto the golf course. Whereas you step onto the golf course, the first thing that struck me was how open it was. Watching the Masters on TV, you get a sense that it is very, very tree-lined on every hole, that it seems difficult to imagine that you could stand in one place and see the golf course. But walking onto the golf course and the big oak on the backside of the clubhouse, you can look out and you can see a lot. You can see the first hole. You can see where 18 green and 9 green come up. You can see 10 tee going away. In many ways, it's a very traditional golf course. Oh, there's the first tee box. There's 9 green. There's 10 tee box. There's 18 green. All coming back to the clubhouse. A lot like the golf courses you and I play. That struck me. And then, as play began, something else struck me, which I will tell you about next, and we'll get into what actually happened in yesterday's tournament. Luke Pregandi from PropSwap will be joining us here at 7:35. We'll talk about ways you can maybe make some money on this year's tournament. And it's all here on this first episode of the season of the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
If you want to play below par, keep listening. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That music plays on speakers in all of the bushes. No, it doesn't. Hardy back from the Masters. I was there for the tournament yesterday. Flew back last night. Few hours sleep. Up early this morning with you here on 98.5 The Sports Hub for the first Sports Hub Golf Club of the year. So got onto the course yesterday and immediately hit the pro shop, walked around a little bit, and in very short amount of time, it was ready for the first group to go off. So I decided, okay, I just can't stand here and watch a group go off and then wait 10 minutes and watch someone else go off and wait. There was no way that was going to happen. And even though I had been advised to walk the golf course backwards starting on 18, that doesn't make any sense when there's no one on the golf course. So instead, I started the day by following the first few groups that went out, starting with Ian Poulter and Paul Casey, which ended up being a great move. Ian Poulter is a talkative guy on the golf course. He's, you know, talking to his ball. He was hitting some amazing recovery shots, and Paul Casey is just a friendly guy. Adam Scott and Sebastian Munoz were the second group off, and then the third group of the day was Phil Mickelson and Billy Horschel. So that was a great trio of pairings to go out with and kind of walk back and forth. If I'd missed something, I wanted to see every inch of that golf course, preferably on both sides of these fairways. So on some of these holes, I would walk around, I would walk with a group, walk around the green, walk back on the other side of the fairway if I could, and then pick up the other group and then kind of walk ahead. So it took me quite a while to get around the front nine yesterday. Here's what struck me about the golf course. Number one, it is in fact very hilly. The people who have told me it's like it's a lot hillier in person than you think it is on TV are absolutely right. Not hillier than any hilly golf course you would play on your own in a nice setting, but some pretty jarring elevation changes. Also, the front nine, which I am not as familiar with. I'd be surprised if anybody were as familiar with the front nine at Augusta who had only watched it on TV, because, as you know, if you've been a Masters fan for years, coverage only used to be of the final nine, especially for the leaders. I mean, the coverage was kind of anemic up until relatively recently, 15, 20 years ago, when they started showing more and more of the golf course. But I didn't know the holes as well. Some of them came back to me. Number one, obviously, you know what that looks like from watching players tee off and watching the ceremonial tee shot that happens every Thursday morning. But seeing it in person brings another perspective. One of the perspectives is some of the fairways are unbelievably wide. This is not a U.S. Open type of setup where you have narrow fairways. The fairways might look big on TV. They are ginormous in person. Also, the rough, which is not all that rough at Augusta, is not all that rough in person. It is there aren't a lot of bad lies out there as long as you are keeping the ball in play. The trees that you see on the golf course, most of them pine trees, and they, you know, as you walk in, of course, they give you a pairing sheet and they give you the Masters spectator guide. There's information in there about everything on the golf course, including the trees. And they say most of the trees out here are pine trees, but they are trimmed so that if you do go into the trees, you have a shot out of the trees in a lot of those places. They are trimmed 20, 30 feet up in a lot of places. So as you're walking around, you can see how Phil Mickelson was able to hit that 6-iron on the 13th hole in the par 5 years ago because, oh, he's actually got room to get a shot. To get a shot up and out of trouble, not everywhere and not from every position, but in a lot of places. Some of the holes on the front nine, the par 3 6th, I had no idea. It is a really huge elevation drop from tee to green. And walking the front nine, you get to see a lot more golf and a lot more of the golf holes than you do on the back, which is kind of ironic because you see so much more, or at least in opposition to what you see on TV. You see much more of the back nine. You know, the tournament really doesn't start until the back nine on Sunday. But just the way the course is laid out and where they allow spectators to go, which is pretty much everywhere, on the front nine is not necessarily the case on the back. So once made the turn, and I took a pit stop after nine to go over to the driving range. I wanted to watch Bryson DeChambeau warm up on the range. There were a lot of people doing the same thing. He's a lunatic, and he hits the ball a ton. It was hitting 5 woods, I think. It looked like a 5-wood, about 300 yards, and he was hitting his 3-wood off the deck, 320 probably. It was insanity. I went back out on the course and started walking the back nine. Now, these are the holes that I know. And the 10th hole is every bit as nasty looking and fun and just this wonderful way to begin what a lot of people believe to be the start of the tournament. the back nine at Augusta is where things really start to happen, especially over the weekend. And it's certainly where they happened yesterday. More on that here in a second. But that 10th hole walking down, you see how guys like Rory have gotten into trouble there over the years. And I also took a pit stop off of the right side of number 10 fairway to walk over to where Bubba Watson hit his draw out of the pine straw, out of the woods. Now, he was in jail. In the playoff in the Masters that he won, where he, as a lefty, hooked his shot over into the right side, to the right of the fairway, and had no chance at putting that ball on the green. There was a Masters volunteer down there who said, "Yep, it's right here if you're looking." And people were there. There were me and a couple other guys were looking for the spot where Bubba hit that shot. He said it was from right here, and he showed where he aimed and how he pulled off that pitching wedge, I believe, hook shot. He hooked it 30 yards to get it back onto the green, but you can walk in all these places. Right up until number 11, which is the par 4, and it's the start of Amen Corner. It's downhill, and this is where you kind of don't get a chance to see every part of the golf course. So you can't walk all the way back to the tee box on 11. You can walk down to where it meets up with number 12, but here's the other jarring thing. The 11th hole, Augusta, goes down to a green that practically has to go over the tee box on 12, the famous par 3 that goes over the water. If this were at any other golf course, people would be killed on that 12th tee box, I think, every weekend, because any errant shot to the right, any errant approach shot on 11 that would go off to the right, short and right, would hit somebody standing on 12 tee. But apparently that's not an issue at Augusta National. Watching the par 3 12th is great. And there are a few good places where you can camp out. You can carry a chair with you, set it up, and watch from there. And you can watch the players putting out at 11. You can watch them teeing off on 12. But as you know from watching on TV, you can't get close to number 12 green. Nor can you get close to the tee box on number 13, which I think is the most spectacular hole on the golf course. The par 5, they call it Azalea. It is a diabolically sharp turn on this dog leg. There's a huge landing area right in front that doesn't mean anything to these guys because it's kind of this no man's land that collects the really bad tee shots off of 12. And I don't know who would only hit a drive down there on 13, but then it makes a hard turn down to the tributary to Rays Creek and then right there in front of the green. And then you kind of start heading in again with the 14th hole, the par 4. But being able to see where Phil Mickelson hit that shot on 13 out of the pine straw, the 6-iron, which he put on the green, and missed the putt, by the way, these are the things that if you're a golf fan, you show up to Augusta to do. Stopped at, of course, the 16th hole for quite a while and watch players playing on the par 3 there. There's another great viewing area where you can see stuff happening on 15 green, and you can watch all of the 16th hole. You can watch from up on the hill. But again, no grandstands. Everyone just setting up in chairs and watching or standing and watching. And then to finish things off on 17 and 8, great finishing holes. But the 18th was what I really wanted to get a good look at, because over the years, they've had to push that tee box further and further back to make it a truly challenging finishing hole. And they were teeing off right at the back of that tee box yesterday. And I could not believe how narrow the chute was. That is one thing that absolutely looks like on television that isn't real life. It's like the final approach to the Death Star, where you get down into this chute and you're just traveling along. So I did a really golf dorky thing and I paced off. I paced off the distance from that back tee to the actual start of the fairway, which also coincided with where I think things open up a little bit. It's not that you just have to carry your tee shot 200 yards to make it to the fairway. You have to hit it pretty much dead straight for the first 200 yards to get out of that chute and that long, thin, narrow tee box that runs for about 70 yards or so, and then another 130 yards of going over a cart path and some rough, and then finally you're into the fairway. But then the hole is just beginning, because the undulations on that 18th fairway are massive. There are huge dips, and those bunkers are just inviting any shot that goes a little bit to the left, and then the trees and the pines draw off to the right, where we saw Tiger 2 years ago ended up with his tee shot and had to scramble a little bit to make it home and win the thing. The 18th green itself, not as big as I thought it would be, not as treacherously sloped from back to front, but still a lot of undulations, and you can see why it makes for such a great finishing hole. There's so much more I could talk about in depth, and I probably will in later shows, but suffice it to say, the golf course itself, the hospitality, everything from the egg salad sandwiches to the sweet tea to the pro shop to the way people kind of just are there all soaking it all in together, surpassed every expectation that I had. And by the time they blew the horn at 4 o'clock for the weather delay, I had to leave anyway to make it back to the airport. I could have gone back onto the course in a short amount of time, but all I would have seen is Hideki Matsuyama running away with it, who only needed a handful of putts on his finishing holes. He had 1 3-putt on the back nine yesterday and no 2-putts. He was sinking everything else. So he is your 4-stroke leader ahead of Will Zalatoris, Mark Leishman, Justin Rose, and Xander Schauffele as they get set to tee off at least the final group at 2:40 today. The other players will be teeing off at 10 a.m., starting with Adam Scott and Jim Herman. Adam Scott made a mess of things yesterday. As I said, I followed him for a while. But there was some excellent golf being played after the restart yesterday and some other blow-ups from the likes of Justin Thomas, which I know messed up a lot of people who thought maybe he could do something this year. And Jordan Spieth, who I saw hit one of the worst approach shots I've ever seen from a professional golfer. It was on number 8, and it was shortly before the play was stopped, and he was in the left rough, had a beautiful lie, and hooked it right into a tree. And after that, I said, you know what? I think I'm bad luck for Jordan Spieth. I'm going to keep walking. We'll talk more about the favorites and who's allegedly going to be able to do what today with Luke Pergandy from Prop Swap. Way to make some money on this Masters Sunday coming up here in just a few minutes on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club, on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. It's Hardy. I was talking to Ted Johnson down the line, who will be coming up next here on the football show on this Sunday morning. Ted, who has infamously been to the Masters multiple times, which he has told me about, and didn't mean to rub in my face, but did a little bit. and I think he walked around the course with the likes of Hale Irwin. By the way, there were a lot of people there that I heard about, but I myself did not see. Wayne Gretzky was there watching his son-in-law or his wife's boyfriend, whatever Dustin Johnson is, for a day, and a buddy of mine talked to him. I think Jerry Rice was there yesterday, so I was told. I did not see him myself. I did see Ryan Fitzpatrick there yesterday. But I'm not good at recognizing people with their masks on. And I felt like I needed Jim Louth. I think Jim Louth is the type of guy that could recognize especially any athlete, even if they're wearing a mask. And yeah, Patrick Mahomes reportedly was there, and I'm sure a lot of people were, but A, they're wearing masks, and B, I was too busy just, you know, staring wide-eyed at the golf course, and really that was it. I did get a chance to see, I think, every single player, if not on the course, most of them on the course, but certainly on the range too. But I think when you go to Augusta, at least for the first time, you're not necessarily there to watch the golfers. You're there to watch the golf, but you're there to look at the golf course and everything else that is Augusta National. All right, Luke Pergandy from PropSwap joining us here. This is where America goes to buy and sell sports book tickets. You could do it in Massachusetts. You want to make a bet, a futures bet? Well, just buy the bet from someone who's already made it or sell yours on PropSwap. Luke, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine, Sunshine. You okay? You were a little snippy last night when you found out how early you had to call in this morning. You all right?
I'm okay. I'll survive. You know, it's for the business, so it's all worth it.
Dude, I didn't even land in Boston until after midnight, and I'm here. You're fine.
Yeah, so you ended up going?
I ended up going, and it was fantastic, and I got to see Hideki Matsuyama, but not after the restart, after the weather delay. So I imagine a lot of people are trying to sell Matsuyama tickets this morning, or at least a lot of people are trying to buy them, or both.
Yeah. No, we've sold, my gosh, we probably sold 30 Hideki tickets yesterday. The longest price that I've seen on Hideki is 100-1. So if you'd bet $100, that would now sell as of this morning for $5,300.
Wow. So his odds, I can't do the math that fast. What are his odds right now?
He's -120 right now, so he's a slight favorite. The next highest is Xander at 5-1, and then Justin Rose is at 9-1.
Okay, so this is fascinating to me. Does a I'm sure somewhere in the world someone bet Will Zalatoris to win the Masters, but is there a bet like that for sale right now on PropSwap?
Yes, yeah, we have Zalatoris tickets for sale. We have one at around 10-1, so his market is about 9-1.
Okay,
so we have about a 9-1 ticket up for sale. Definitely. I mean, he was 125-1 odds with Zalatoris to start this thing.
I can't believe Matsuyama, anybody got him at 100-1, but this happens with every golf tournament and every time we've got a couple of teams left in one of the, you know, in a championship series, Luke, you know, somebody found them at really long odds at some casino, what, 6-8 months ago. And now they're looking to move the tickets. So, okay. Somebody had Hideki at 100. Somebody had Will Zalatoris at 125-1, which I would have thought was a sucker's bet then, but, you know, shows what I know. So what would you stand to win on that Zalatoris ticket? Do you know? Do you have it there in front of you?
Yeah, so we've got they're mostly smaller ones than these Zalatoris tickets. We can't keep a Masters ticket on the shelf this weekend, and I knew that would be the case. So if anyone out there has a Masters ticket and you're on the fence, just post it. And post it for more than you might want to sell it for and see what happens, because we have so much demand for these Masters tickets. Like, it's just a really fun event to bet on, and PropSwap is really the only way that you can be getting in and out of your position throughout the weekend. Typically, the way to bet on this thing is you bet on a bunch of different golfers, then you just hold them until the end. But like we just discussed, like if you have a Hideki ticket and you can sell it before Sunday even has started, like that's a really interesting strategy.
Well, especially for this tournament. And, you know, the narrative today is, can anyone catch Matsuyama? Can anyone do this? I'm like, are you soft? I mean, he's a great player. And I've always enjoyed his game, and I've taken him in, you know, various positions over the years, either in drafts or, you know, bet him. But it's only a four-stroke lead, and let's face it, it's not Tiger with a four-stroke lead making the turn on Sunday. He's sitting on a four-stroke lead before they tee off on, you know, on a Sunday morning. And Justin Rose, who had a, you know, blistering wet, you know, 65 to open up, has kind of leveled off. I could see Justin Rose turning in very easily a 66 or a 67 today to get himself to 11, 12 under par. And if Matsuyama just finds a little bit of trouble like he did in the second round and only shot 71, all of a sudden we've got a tournament again. And it wouldn't take all that much for that to happen. This is not an insurmountable lead.
Completely agree. And, you know, if you have a $100 ticket and you can get out of that at 5,300, it almost seems silly to pass that up.
There is very little chance I would not be selling on Hideki Matsuyama or virtually anyone leading the Masters on a Sunday with, I would say, four strokes or fewer. Five, maybe a bit more of a conversation, but we've seen five-stroke leads evaporate too. And I'd mentioned earlier in the show, Luke, it's a cliche that holds true. This tournament doesn't begin until the last few groups make the turn this afternoon. So, you know, this thing will really start up, you know, once these guys start playing those incoming holes. And there's always movement on the leaderboard at that point. I imagine some people made some sales earlier in the week who are very happy with themselves on a couple of top players. Not that we want to celebrate, you know, the people who bought these tickets, but I imagine some people sold some DJ and Bryson tickets earlier on that are pretty happy right now.
Yeah, DJ, Bryson, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, you know, everyone. All those guys are pretty happy. But again, like, and this just happened with the national championship. Like, people are like, oh, like, I feel bad for the guys that bought all the Gonzaga tickets. Like, yes, I agree. I don't want anyone to lose sports bets, but that's happening on every other app in the country. When people, for the most part, when people are buying these tickets on PropSwap, they're getting a discount to the market. So, example would be Justin Thomas. We sold a ton of JT tickets all weekend. His market was around 4-1. And people were buying him at 6-1. So, you know, yes, those bets lost, but they ended up saving money by using PropSwap versus using their offshore bookie because they got a 20 to 30% markdown.
I laugh every time you say it, but it's true, number one.
And it's the math.
It's like, hey, I feel like you're speaking to me. It's like, hey, look, you're going to lose. I'm going to help you lose not as much, okay? So just, you know.
right. PropSwap, we help you lose less.
Well, for the people holding those Matsuyama tickets today, oh, man, this is your time to cash in on those. And, yeah, you might kick yourself a little bit if he ends up winning it outright, but it is far from a sure thing. So for people who haven't used it yet, Luke, PropSwap.com, the PropSwap app is very good. And again, this is legal in Massachusetts. It's legal in a lot of places where sports betting necessarily isn't. And it's not like going on to eBay and buying a sports book ticket and having the guy send it to you. You guys handle all the transaction stuff, right?
Yep. We take care of everything. You know, then people think, oh, well, if I buy a ticket on PropSwap, I have to wait, you know, 7 to 10 days for them to get it. Like, no, as soon as you buy the bet, then your job is done. We take care of everything else. So if you want to buy a Hideki ticket right now and then sell it on the seventh hole when he's at seven, like, you can do that. So we for the Masters, this is basically like live betting all day long on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you can be buying and selling the whole day.
And that's, you know, that's what I like about it. Like, to buy a, you know, a Justin Rose ticket here this morning. Like, what can I get Justin Rose at right now? He's at 7 under. He's one of those guys 4 strokes off the lead right now. Like, what are his odds on PropSwap?
Yeah, we have a ticket at +850, so $46 to collect 440. We have a few other 7-1 tickets. We have a 10-1 ticket. That's wow. We have multiple 10-1 tickets on Justin Rose. That those will sell by the time he tees off.
Yeah, and that would be my thinking today. Buy one of those Justin Rose tickets. Hopefully get, you know, one of those ones that's selling at 10-1 odds. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, spend thousands of dollars on it, but spend a few bucks. And then if he makes a couple of early birdies, you know, maybe even birdies one before Matsuyama even tees off, see what the odds move to, because the odds move like instantly. When you go to post, you can, you know, people who are watching say, I want a Justin Rose ticket. Well, you know, I spent $40 on it, but now maybe I can sell it for 50 or 60 or who knows.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we built out a feature that once you buy the ticket, and this will happen throughout the day, we'll tell you what your ticket is worth. If you just click on it, it's called the My Ticket section of the website. As the tournament goes on, your guy birdies, your ticket value go up. If he bogeys, your ticket value will go down. So you'll have an updated number throughout the day, and then you have a decision to make. Do you want to, you know, grab Justin Rose at 10-1 for $50 and then sell it for $175 if he makes a couple holes? Great.
Well, I don't understand, because I tried that with my Rory McIlroy ticket, and when I pressed, you know, my ticket to see what, the app just started smoking and my phone shut off. What happened?
I think that's a you problem.
Same thing happened with my Francesco Molinari ticket that I was so proud of last November. Oh my God, I really thought I was smarter than the entire betting public on that one.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Rory, but he is having a poor last 5 years of golf.
Well, I tell you what's happened in the last 5 weeks is he tried for a minute to turn himself into Bryson DeChambeau. He wanted to hit the ball that long, and it's a dangerous thing to just decide you're going to do one day. Bryson is, you know, and obviously it doesn't always work for Bryson either. You've seen what's happened to him this week. I mean, he blew up with a 76 to start the tournament, and then he went low on Friday, but shot a 75 yesterday. So far be it from me to say he's out of it, but he's 13 strokes off the lead. He's out of it. So, I wouldn't necessarily model my game after his if I were Rory. All right, Luke, PropSwap.com and the PropSwap app. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll be talking to you next week, I'm sure.
Okay. Thanks, Arnie. Enjoy the Masters today. Bye.
Okay, go back to bed. All right. There's Luke Pergandy. You can hear him just about every week on the Sports Hub, at least for a minute or two. And then we'll be talking to him throughout the season here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. We'll come back and wrap things up on this first edition of the season of the Sports Hub Golf Club right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Hardy here on this first show of the season. Thanks to Luke Pergandy from PropSwap for joining us there. It is a lot of fun following along on this final round of the Masters. Maybe not as fun as it would be if the leader were not four strokes ahead of everyone else. But I got to say, for this tournament and the way things have changed on the final day, and nothing against Hideki Matsuyama. I think he's a fine player. He's a solid player. But this course has a way of sneaking up on people. And, you know, I saw it myself firsthand yesterday, how difficult things get. No, it's the Masters. You know that it changes in an instant. We saw it with Jordan Spieth. We saw it with Tony Finau. We saw it with Francesco Molinari. And that's all on one hole. That's just at number 12. Things can turn around on you in a hurry at that golf course. So, yeah, I think it's definitely worth the watch today, and I will be putting in the hours that I always do during this final round. I want to say another thank you to Mass Golf, one of our partners this year on the Sports Hub Golf Club, and to Wedgewood Pines. Thanks for coming on early, and we'll have them on as well. And with Mass Golf, I had another friend who just left on a golf trip last week, and he called me and said, what do you think my handicap is? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I mean, I know, you know, we play and, you know, we go out and just, you know, knocking around a little bit, but that, get a handicap. If you join Mass Golf, you'll have a handicap, and that way you'll never have to guess when it comes to either an actual, you know, tournament or just a buddy's trip where everybody wants to put their handicap in so you can have some action. Also, Mass Golf has been sending out messages to people who are either members, potential members, about creating a digital profile with your with the USGA and the GIN. That is just the USGA requiring you have to have a valid email address and password for your GIN account now, which is that's how you post scores. And if you haven't kept a handicap in a while, and you think that you have to go into the clubhouse after your round and sit down at the shared computer and no. It's all done on the app now. It's just an app that you put on your phone, you post your score, and boom. Updates overnight, too. So you will know within hours if your handicap has moved one way or the other. All right, T-Bone, thanks, buddy. Well done. Also, thanks again to Luke Pergandy, and thank you to everybody who got me to the Masters there yesterday. It was fantastic. It's probably not the best year to explain to you what it's like because the crowds were so thin and you're able to get close to every green and every tee box with no grandstands. But for me, it was an experience of a lifetime there yesterday. And no, you don't need golf shoes to walk around Augusta National. I appreciate everybody who told me I would need my golf shoes. I would need my spikes so I didn't slip and slide down hills. But that was not the case. I was fine. Football show coming up next. We'll do it again next week.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.